drawing room over here.
Hey, it's great to see you. We've been waiting. There's heaps to talk about.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. It's a tale of murder, guilt and justice, and one of the Bard's best known plays. But what happens when you try to teach Macbeth to a group of young men in juvenile detention? A new documentary, Kings of Baxter, follows two actors from Bell Shakespeare as they put together a performance of the play at the Frank Baxter Juvenile Detention Centre. Hugh McKinnon is an actor and an educator with Bell Shakespeare, and Jack Yabsley is a filmmaker and the director of Kings of Baxter. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Hugh, if I can start with you, how did Bell end up working with young men in juvenile detention?
What you see in the movie, I think, is about our fifth year of going to Frank Baxter. And I think it was somebody in the Bell Shakespeare education arm who approached the Juvenile Justice Centre in the first instance, just to try and sort of extend our reach a little bit and see what we could offer in classrooms that we don't usually travel into.
The project that is the subject of this documentary was the most ambitious that you'd done. How was it different from the previous projects?
Yeah, well, we certainly tried to extend ourselves a little bit. In the past, we've gone into the centre for 5 weeks at a time. Like, we'd visit twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, for 5 weeks. And we did that for a few years, and that was mostly pretty successful, as you can imagine. It's sometimes we hit and sometimes we miss a little bit. So this year that you see in the film, we decided that we were going to go in for 12 weeks and try and mount something closer to a full production of Macbeth. In the past, we'd sort of, at the end of the 5 weeks, we'd got the boys maybe to just perform little scenes for each other in the room. But this year we decided we're going to try and put a full production together, and we had their families come and join the audience, and all the other boys in the centre come and join the audience. So that was a little bit more ambitious for everybody.
The full catastrophe. Yeah. Jack, how did you get involved as a filmmaker here?
I'd been a big fan of Bell Shakespeare for a long time, and I found myself at a talk that was being given by James Evans, who's Hugh's counterpart in the documentary, and he was speaking about this program at Bell Shakespeare that Bell Shakespeare takes to Frank Baxter. And as soon as he started talking about it, I was sort of tingly, like the hairs stood up on the back of my neck. I was like, I've got to do something with this. And basically, as soon as the talk finished, I ran outside and I called my friend who's a producer, and I called my friend who's a DOP, and I just said, whatever we do, we need to try to tell this story. And so it kind of just started from there. And then we basically rocked up to Bell Shakespeare and said, can we tag along for a program? And that's when James revealed that this was the year that they were going to try to do a 3-month rehearsal process and put on the production. And I was like, great. It sounds like it could be amazing, or it could be horrific. And either way, I want to be there for the whole time.
Now, of course, you know, schoolroom programs are going to be challenging in every context, but this one presents a different and greater set of challenges, right?
No question. I mean, obviously, a lot of the boys that have ended up in, a lot of the kids that have ended up in juvenile detention are there because they have already, they have a lot of trouble fitting in regular classrooms. So whenever you get a group of them in a classroom, the personalities that you're dealing with, the pasts and the stories that you're dealing with, make everything that much more challenging. I mean, I talk about how challenging it is for me to teach them Shakespeare. It's challenging enough for these boys a lot of times to wake up in the morning and get through the day. Do you know what I mean? So that whole environment, yeah, has a bunch of extra challenges, of course.
So there's that kind of relationship angle, but there's also the fact that, you know, some of these kids were being released halfway through the process, or being taken off into solitary, or just not turning up. I mean, all sorts of really practical challenges for you as well, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're very lucky with the group of boys that we got. They're boys at Frank Baxter. These are boys that have... they've been in detention for a little while. They're on the path to rehabilitation. They've already had a bit of time to be able to reflect on their own behaviour and think about how they might need to change things in the future. So their attitude towards what we were trying to do, even if they weren't super into it, their attitude towards what we were trying to do was mostly pretty supportive. But yes, it's true that halfway through your rehearsal period, when one of your cast members gets released from prison, you're overjoyed for them, of course, but you are going to miss them when you've cast them as Macduff or Lady Macbeth or whatever, yeah.
How do you get these young men on side? How do you keep them interested? I mean, I imagine there's a different language compared to your typical acting cohort of people who are happy to be there and have kind of come along to the theatre in the first place off their own volition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's a big difference already, you know, from my experience in going into regular high schools. There's an enormous difference between people that have sort of opted in and decided they want to be there and want to hear what you have to say compared to kids who are being forced to study Shakespeare for their HSC. So that's already a little bit of a challenge. And these boys, yeah, you have to rethink what you're going to use to motivate the group. But also you can't be too, you can't be too sugary or can't lay it on too thick. I think a lot of them are genuinely curious about the process. They're genuinely curious about storytelling. I feel like they're very attuned to when you're not telling them the truth or when you're trying mm-hmm. to. Do you know what I mean?
They've got good BS meters.
That's what I still got.
You're really trying to skirt around that wording, weren't you?
Rephrase that a little bit. But yes, you're spot on. You're spot on.
They've talked to enough counsellors and teachers and what have you in their lives and do good to lawyers, I imagine.
Yeah, and they're expert at telling you the story that they want you to believe. They're very, very charismatic. Mm. But they're motivated by a genuine approach. And they're pretty motivated by watching James and I actually put ourselves out there and make ourselves mm-hmm. vulnerable and care about what we were doing. And I think that helped motivate just the honesty of that.
And Jack, filmmaker, how did you get access to the centre? Were the authorities on side from the beginning?
Yeah, they really were. They were super helpful because I think they realised that through telling the story that Bell Shakespeare is doing in the centre, it's going to be able to shine a light on other programs that are running throughout this centre and other centres right around the state and even the country. Because, I mean, what we found in Frank Baxter is a community of people who work there who are seriously invested in rehabilitating the boys. It's not about putting them somewhere to punish them. It's about realizing that the kind of kids that come into a center like this can have, you know, maybe a history of abuse or have struggled in school or haven't had access to food and shelter. And so their lives come with a lot of baggage. So you can use the time that the boys are in a center like this for good. And so we found that Juvenile Justice New South Wales, they were really supportive of us being there, and they knew where we were coming from in trying to tell the story as well, which is my big goal with this story was to give these boys a voice, and these aren't voices that we generally hear from in the mainstream media.
On RN, I'm Damien Carrick, and my guests this evening in the drawing room are filmmaker Jack Yabsley and also Bell Shakespeare actor Hugh McKinnon. And we're talking about a new documentary. It's a great one. It's a lovely film. It's called Kings of Baxter. And Jack, Hugh there was talking about how he got the boys to respond and engage with the process. How did you get the kids on side? Because they also, to the camera, also seem to open up about their stories and about how they got there and who they are and what they're getting out of this process.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's tricky because if I think about myself as a 15-year-old, I wasn't really that verbose in talking about my feelings and my experiences. So, I mean, the boys in there, they were pretty similar. You talk to most teenage boys and they're not that forthcoming with telling their story. But then sometimes, you know, I was really surprised. Sometimes people are waiting to be asked, what's your story? And for me, the main way of accessing, you know, the truth with these guys is just we spent so much time with them. We spent time just hanging out in their room, time in the silence, time talking about rugby league, which I'm not a big rugby league fan, but I really pretended for this 3 months because these guys are really into league. So we just talked about everything else until it came to a place where they felt they could trust me, and also they'd forgotten that the camera's there. But you know, sometimes we'd be hanging out with a really shy boy and I'd just kind of ask a question like, you know, so what's your story? And it's like they'd been waiting to be asked for a long time, and they were just some boys were just ready to open up.
They embraced the lack of judgment as well. And I know from the Bell Shakespeare perspective, we go in there with, you know, we don't know anything about these boys and we like to keep it that way. And Jack and the guys that worked on this film also we're just there to just listen and just be open and not take any of that judgment. I think the boys really appreciate that.
That's very interesting. So you're taking a kind of a distance. You didn't want to find out their stories. You didn't want to try and access those stories and then use them as energy or propulsion into the performance role.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I mean, what's also really important is that these boys are in therapy or they're going through a healing process. So we had to be so careful about accessing wounds that they've already got that they're trying to heal. You don't want to sort of break a boy down and have great, you know, a great film where they're crying and they're telling you all this sort of stuff, but then you're regressing their, you know, their path to healing by a couple of years. They've got to, we had to be so respectful of what they're going through and not make it about just getting sort of the razzle-dazzle sort of experiences and emotions on screen.
Mm. It's interesting because acting and performing and dealing with text, you know, stuff with kind of deep themes running through it, it is about accessing emotions and about showing anger, showing passion, showing love. That's complicated in this situation, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I guess Hugh and James were able to do with the boys is create a safe space where you can delve into some of those emotions in a creative way rather than what can sometimes be a destructive way, don't you think, Hugh?
Yeah, absolutely. That was, and it took me probably a couple of years of going in there, to be honest, before I really realised and caught myself out and thought, far out, you're asking these boys, you're asking these boys to go to emotional extremes. And frankly, it's emotional extremes that got them in trouble in the first place. Do you know what I mean? And as a performer, you take that so for granted that you can go there, and then when the applause happens and the performance is over, you can come back because you've got a good foundation and you've figured out how to do that. But for these boys, like I said, that's exactly the kind of thing that got them in trouble in the first place. So it's like Jack said, you're walking a pretty fine line.
Jack, we're used to responding to faces in film, but of course, because these are young men in detention, you can't show their faces.
No.
Or use their full or real names. I mean, there's a lot of kind of nicknames and stuff. That must have been a challenge.
Oh, yeah, it was a challenge. And it was something that I knew from the outset that this was going to be what we would do. And also what we wanted to do is sort of respect that these boys are on a path of rehabilitation and that when they leave this centre, they can have that anonymity to start afresh. So, yes, it was a huge challenge. And what we really tried to do was make it feel like an organic part of the film. We didn't sort of want a, lots of blurs and sort of pixelated moments on screen. But I think what also we got out of that is that the boys felt that there was a level of no judgment with the way we were portraying them as well, that they could be free to be honest with us because it's not going to be, you know, their head up there saying it and it's not their name. So I think there was a bit of liberation in the fact that they could be anonymous in this film.
What do you hope that the young men will get out of this process?
For me, I hope that they feel, more than anything else, I hope they feel a sense of empowerment at having conquered something that they've spent most of their lives feeling or being told that they couldn't conquer. And this is the case for a lot of high school students. A lot of people are told that Shakespeare is highly intellectual and academic. It's one of those things that is reserved for the intelligent elite, if you like. And if you end up in juvenile justice, then Shakespeare is the last thing that's going to be presented to you, and you know you're going to spend your life feeling like this is something that's out of your reach, or something that you're not good enough for. And so I want to make these boys feel like they can make it theirs, this great literary work. Not only can they understand it and read it or whatever, but they can make it theirs and put their stamp on it. And I feel, I like to think, that's really empowering.
There was a double pressure, though, I felt. There was that kind of, you know, owning Shakespeare and everything that means, but also getting up in front of your peers, right? Oh. A group of really tough boys, and you know, one of your actors vomited up before he performed. It was incredibly moving to watch because, you know, we all feel stage fright, but before that kind of peer group where you're kind of stuck with them, you can't go home to mum and dad and not see them again for a week or whatever, the stakes were high, and I felt that
hugely high.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I remember chickening out of a performance at my high school, and that was Kiama High School on the South Coast, and that's a nice place to grow up. So imagine having to do this in front of your whole high school, but that's also a community where like you say, you can't escape. You're in there,
and they're tough. They're really tough. They know how to pull you down if they want to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How did the kids respond to seeing their cohort up there performing? Were they supportive?
Oh, on the day after the performance, I've found the whole atmosphere in the room incredibly supportive. Yeah. I mean, the condition, I suppose, when I say that is I can't be sure what goes on behind closed doors after I go home. Frankly, I don't know. But in the room on the day, the other boys in the centre were really supportive. The teachers that these boys interact with almost on a daily basis were stunned. They came up to us afterwards and said, I didn't know he had it in him, you know, for these boys to get up and just speak in front of a group like that, let alone Shakespeare. And then, of course, for them to have their families there and for some of them to have their little kids there, we made for a pretty incredible atmosphere in the room.
That was amazing when you realised that these young boys actually had children, some of them. It was extraordinary. Can I ask, Hugh, what do you get out of it? I mean, is it just kind of enabling people? Is that the big thing for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. What do I get out of it? It starts again tomorrow. I'm back tomorrow for this year's program. I love Shakespeare. I love the word. I love the power of these words. There's something about the feeling of walking into a room. Perhaps it's incredibly egotistical. There's something about the feeling of walking into a room and knowing that all the people in the room either at best don't understand what you're about to talk about, or at worst they actively despise what you're about to talk about, and to know that I can bring it to their lives in such a way that they can take control over it, and that sort of that veil of mystery or that dust can sort of be wiped away, that's hugely satisfying. It sounds a bit sort of esoteric and artistic, but I hope you know what I mean.
I do. Hugh McKinnon from Bell Shakespeare and Jack Yabsley, filmmaker, have been my guests in the drawing room. Thanks so much for speaking to RN Drive.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, Damien.
And the documentary Kings of Baxter is debuting at the Antenna Documentary Film Festival in Sydney this week.